sneak preview on something that's opening a week from this weekend. It'll be two performances on Friday and Sunday of Marriage of Figaro, done by Inland Northwest Opera. And we're going to be spending time both this week and next week getting into it. Today we have three of the folks, Madison Leonard as Susanna, Morgan Smith as Count Almaviva, and Ina Dukac as Countess Almaviva. And Bob New is the director. So first, let's welcome you in, Bob.
Thank you so much.
And talk briefly about the marriages of Figaro in your life. What's your history with this opera?
Well, this is my third time doing it, but it's my first time in a proscenium. I've done two site-specific productions, mm-hmm. In small mansions, actually. Mm-hmm. So this is the first time in a proscenium, but it's a piece that you never tire of and that you always, there's always room to reinterpret it. It's such a great, great masterpiece.
Oh, sure, it is. It's a big opera. It's a long opera. Are there any cuts you take?
We are taking some cuts. There's some standard cuts, generally, that one takes. So I think probably our production in total with intermission is around less than 3 hours,
yeah.
2 3/4 hours.
Yeah, it's a bit, as you say, it's a big, big opera. And always the standard standard question probably ever since, that outrageous director that did the original Così fan tutte is in the diner, whom am I thinking of?
Peter Sellers.
Yeah, ever since Peter Sellers and many others and many Europeans. Is there anything unique in the setting of this production?
Well, indeed there is. We're setting this production in 1915 in a country estate in England. So your listeners can certainly think about Downton Abbey. I think it's kind of the closest we can get to our current time and still have this idea of the upstairs, downstairs, the servants and the ruling class.
Mm-hmm. That's a good reason. Yeah. Because there is, I assume, always the desire to make opera speak to people in the now.
Well, of course. And I personally like to contemporize opera as much as possible so mm-hmm. that audiences do feel that they can relate mm-hmm. to the characters, especially Mozart characters who are so rich and so well drawn.
Mm-hmm. And then we have this triangle of sorts in here of these three people. I don't know, whom do we start with? Do we start with the Count trying to defend himself? This is Morgan Smith as Count Almaviva. Are you some archetype of the out of touch, rich guy that doesn't have to be responsible, or are you more than that?
No, I would say that he's pretty much archetypal, first and foremost. Sort of the classic narcissist, privileged guy, just doing whatever the heck he wants.
Yeah, which Mozart simply needed to do, and well, for any of you, for the director, you think Mozart was trying to make some statements about the world he inhabited?
For sure, definitely a politically charged story, and very, very important to that time.
Yeah. And maybe to any time about out of touch people in charge. Right. And then let's go to the Countess, because in the role of Countess of Ina Dukac, what's your situation in this?
I think the Countess faces a situation that many women face today and really in any age, which is that her husband that she fell in love with and had such a great time with has gotten bored, has his eyes started, the new fresh thing, the maid, and he feels entitled to go after anybody he wants. And I think the Countess on some level understands that, but really feels such a deep love for this man and somewhat sense of confusion at that. Where is that feeling in him? And I think her goal is to get it back, get him back. But yes, there's a certain amount of futility in that, and acceptance as well.
Yeah. And Susanna, played by our hometown girl made good, grew up in Hayden, Madison Leonard. Are you an archetype or are you a person?
Hmm.
That's a great question. I do think that Susanna is a complex kind of real person, or certainly very relatable archetype. Mm-hmm. She's the center of the plot wheel in this opera for sure. Confidant, comforter, jokester, kind of all of those things. Wears a lot of hats.
And so we're about to send the two of you out to do this duet. Set up the duet for us that the Count and Susanna are about to do.
So this comes in the third act of the opera, so it's just right after intermission. And it's this moment when Susanna and the Countess have decided that we're going to trick the Count into believing that I am meeting him in the garden this evening, that finally his dream of this romantic evening, this soiree, is going to come to pass. But in fact, we're going to disguise the Countess so that she can see firsthand and catch him in his bad behavior.
Well, let's send you out to do that very thing. This is Morgan Smith, the baritone, as Count Almaviva, and Madison Leonard as the soprano, Susanna. And we're about to assemble in the studio, and I think they're about ready. So let's go to the studio and hear this opera from the third act of The Marriage of Figaro.
Crudel, perché finora farmi languir così? Perché, crudel, farmi languir così? In giardin verrai.
Se piace a voi verrò.
E non mi mancherai.
Non vi mancherò.
Verrai.
Sì.
Non mancherai.
No.
Non mancherai.
Non mancherò. No, non vi mancherò.
Mi sento contento, pieno di gioia il cuor.
Scusatemi se
mi sento contento, pieno di gioia il cuor. Dunque in giardin verrai.
Se piace a voi verrò.
E non mi mancherai.
No, non vi mancherò.
Verrai.
Sì.
Dunque verrai. Mancherai.
No.
No.
Se piace a voi, verrò.
Mancherai.
No.
Dunque verrai.
Sì.
Mancherai.
Sì.
Sì.
No. Non vi mancherò.
Mi sento dal consento.
Sì,
pieno di gioia il cuore.
Scott Redenauer at the piano. We were just hearing that duet from The Marriage of Figaro, Madison Leonard in the role of Susanna and Morgan Smith, the baritone in the role of Count Almaviva. And we're going to hear another duet in a little bit between Susanna and the Countess. But first, let's spend a little time simply with you people as singers and actors and as your lives go. We'll start with you, Madison. Give us the brief overview of the last decade of your life.
The brief overview. Well, I left Coeur d'Alene after graduating high school.
When?
And, 2010.
Okay.
And I'd had some experience with musical theater growing up. I was a kid at Children's Theater, Lake City Playhouse in Coeur d'Alene, and Christian Youth Theater, and all throughout school. But I didn't think that it was going to be my career, per se, until I got to college, and I had an incredible voice teacher, Henry Price, who was a great tenor, American tenor back in the day, and he kind of steered me in that direction. He heard the potential in my voice, and started sending me recordings of the greats, you know, Beverly Sills and Callas and Freni and Scotto, and it was a totally new world for me. But I had heard opera because I went to a field trip in grade school and Opera Coeur d'Alene was doing Madame Butterfly. And so I did know what opera was, essentially. I knew that it was super impressive these singers were singing without microphones. But that was all that I knew. So after pursuing that in college, I went on to get a graduate degree at Northwestern. And that was when I started taking this seriously as a career and pursuing other training. And I've had some great luck so far with professional opportunities and competitions and other things that have kind of gotten my name out there. And I have management and other steps that are kind of crucial in the beginning phase of this career.
Nice. What were a few of those stages of the great luck?
This last year I've been very fortunate. I was at the Washington National Opera with their training program, where I got to sing a lot of different great opportunities, like singing at the Kennedy Center and the state dinner at the White House, many different embassies and things like that. And then also I did get chosen to sing in the Metropolitan Opera National Council auditions, which is one of the bigger competitions for young opera singers, and made it through from the district regional semifinal round to the finals and was selected as a grand finals winner, which was a huge honor.
Yeah, that's a big deal, and it's a real gauntlet to run, isn't it?
It is, it is. There are a lot of incredible singers in this country, and I feel privileged to have been chosen from them.
Nice. And so are you living in New York now?
No, I actually was based in D.C. this last year, but I just recently moved to Switzerland because I'm married to another opera singer, and he has full-time work singing at a theater just outside of Zurich. So we are based in Switzerland, and I'll continue to travel back and forth for work.
But isn't that even better in many ways because of the sheer number of European opportunities?
Exactly, yeah. There's such a different culture over there regarding opera. It's so commonplace to have an upstanding theater in every single town in Europe. So you're right, there are so many opportunities. Number-wise, it's great odds that I'll have some work over in Europe.
Yeah, nice. And Morgan Smith, whom we already profiled as the old rich jerk. Sorry, you were here once before as the wonderful, lovely comic relief, weren't you?
I was. Yeah, I was in town for Magic Flute with Spokane Opera. I think it was 2009.
Yeah, and. And so, do you do a lot of Mozart, or is that just a coincidence that these are two Mozart things?
I actually, I have done a lot of Mozart. I'm doing a little bit less these days as voice is growing and moving on to other repertoire. But I love this piece. Yeah. I love this role. I think there is a great depth to it. And I'm glad that the first time I got to do it was when I was a little bit older, because I think there's a certain level of depth that comes with maturity.
Yeah. So now that we're a little later into the interview too, and we made you one-dimensional, talk about what the Count does get to learn and how he gets to learn it.
Well, he's essentially in the end of the opera, they sort of trap him in the garden. They catch him red-handed, trying to cheat on his wife, and in front of his entire court, in front of his entire community. He's got egg on his face, and he has a choice, either to continue to fight like a little child or to actually admit that he's human, admit that he's wrong, and ask for forgiveness. And it's one of the most iconic moments in opera, actually, when he asks forgiveness of the Countess, Contessa, perdono, please forgive me.
Well, and then for any of you that that lovely lack of definition within a Mozart opera that we can't call anything a comedy or a tragedy or anything, can we? Can't jump in anybody about the need for no adjective in Mozart.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, the definition of a comic opera is sort of like the Shakespeare plays. You know, I mean, Shakespeare's a tragedy when somebody dies, and when it's not, it's considered a comedy, but they're not always, I mean, you know, this is not slapstick comedy by any means. It's the comedy about the human condition. I mean, Giovanni is considered, you know, a giocoso, a comedy, but it's far from funny. So yeah, there are light, wonderful moments in this, but I think it's more kind of, you know, you laugh as like maybe a little tear runs down your face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And let's bring in the third person here a little bit more, Ina Dukacs as Countess Almaviva. And you're new to us, so welcome
yes,
here.
Thank you.
So let's meet you and find out who you are and what you do. Where do you live?
I live in New York City.
Okay, so you are the classic living in New York City.
Yes.
making a life as a singer person.
Yes.
And so talk about your life.
I was actually born in Moscow, Russia, and I grew up in the United States. I grew up in Texas and in New York City, and I fell in love with New York City and with opera, and I stayed there.
Mm-hmm. Did you do your training there?
I did my training there. In fact, Morgan and I went to graduate school together some years ago.
Which place?
At Manus College of
okay.
Music.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so did any of you know Scott Redenauer when you were in New York? Did you? He was at Manhattan.
Yes, I did know Scott. He played a few auditions for me. We ran into each other mm-hmm. in the music scene, so it was really wonderful to see him out here, and he plays beautifully, so I felt very lucky to have him.
Yeah, this fabulous pianist who will be playing the next thing, who is now the vocal community of Spokane utterly thrilled that he's moved back here. So as you're making your way as a singer in New York, what's your focus? What are your roles? What are the things that you're leaning into?
I have done, throughout my career, my most common role is Mimi in La Boheme. I've done that role many, many, 80 times. I don't know how many times. I sing a lot of Madame Butterfly. I love singing Mozart. It's been a few years since I've done this role. You know, it's definitely a big contrast from the Verismo, very obvious mm-hmm. emotionality of that. But I found the Countess a very interesting role. She both has that comic, sort of goofy slapstick fun with Susanna, and a real kind of depth to her person. And in the music, it's not obvious. It's not my emotions. It's sort of quieter and more profound, and there's a lot more ensemble singing, so there's a lot more interaction with my fellow co-workers and singers, and that's a great deal of fun.
Well, and speaking of ensemble singing, probably one of the most gorgeous duets of all time, Solaria, which you're about to hear. Talk about what's going on in that, either of you, in this duet, which we're about to hear.
At this point in the opera, the Countess has kind of had a transformation where she's realized I can't play the victim anymore. I can't wait for the Count to come fall in love with me. Susanna and I are going to trick him. And in this aria, I'm dictating to Susanna, write a letter to the Count and tell him exactly where you're going to meet him in the garden. And in your place, I'm going to go dressed up as you and we're going to trick him. So that's really the aria. It's describing where exactly in the garden we're going to meet. And you're right. It is one of the most famous pieces of music, certainly from this opera.
Well, let's send the two of you out to sing that. And by the way, when you're done, send Scott in and we'll spend a little bit of time with him. But the two women that we've just been talking to, Madison Leonard as Susanna and Ina Dukacs as the Countess, about to sing this duet. Scott Redenauer at the piano. So we'll get ready for that. And
we
From the studio, we've been hearing soprano Madison Leonard and soprano Ina Dukic singing Sul Aria, that wonderful duet. And let's ask Scott, we have a couple minutes to ask Scott Redenauer a thing or two. So, Scott, we were talking to you a few weeks ago about kind of another context. Talk about really preparing, being the pianist who's really preparing an opera like this.
Well, an opera like Mozart is always very difficult because it's so exposed. And everything on the page is pretty much impossible to play perfectly. I have friends who can. I don't know how they do it. But I would say the biggest thing is know the story inside and out. Know the roles, know the words, the translation, know even the orchestration, and have an idea what that sounds like, because it's going to make a difference in how it feels in your fingers. There are subtle things you can do to support the singers that still within the context of what the conductor wants. And as a pianist, that is very fulfilling, because you can help them breathe, you can help them express, and they may not even be aware you're doing it. So, but the biggest thing in rehearsal is to give a foundation for them to perform and to find what they need to build a performance, mm-hmm. and also support the director in keeping the flow going and keeping the story moving, helping the conductor by being a second pair of ears, watching for things that could potentially be train wrecks. Mm-hmm.
So in addition to playing the piano, you are also part of the process that all of a sudden you'll say, hey, why don't we do this and this and this?
I seldom say, let's do this or this. I sometimes say, what about this? very seriously leave the leadership to the director and the conductor.
Yeah. And yet, from your experience, you do have a sense of what's going to make something work better, don't you?
I do. There will be little things that I might suggest, but... but again, it's their decision to take a suggestion or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Scott Redenauer, who has been the so far unspoken part of this conversation. So thank you to everyone, to Scott, and certainly to our three singers who have come in, and the director Bob New. And so we will do this again with some. Representatives of this opera, because it opens a week from Friday. It's the 21st and the 23rd in the Fox for Marriage of Figaro. So thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.